Father, we thank you so much for you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, how you have just really condescended to loving us. Lord, you have done so much in Father, sending your Son to die in our place. Father, to draw us to yourself, to work with us, even after we stumble and fall and that, Lord, you love us, and that just is amazing. And we thank you for that. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, we thank you for this time now that we have, that we can get into your word. Father, we pray that your word would get into us. Lord, that you would open our hearts, you'd open our eyes spiritually, that we would see and hear from you. Speak to us now, Father, please, by your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's teaching is The Power of Pride. Now, I know that just hearing that title has caused some hair to stand up on the back of some necks right now. Okay, I know that. But, you know, you might be thinking, hey, man, where's he going? You know, is the pastor now kind of going the way of the world? You know, what's going on here? But then there's other people, they heard that title and go, well, okay, you know, I think I like where this is going. Let me assure you, which if you are on one side or the other, in a couple of seconds, you're going to be 180 degrees off there. The thing is, whatever is thought of in the world or whatever, we know what the world says about pride, right? But whatever is thought about it, what really matters is, what does God say about it, right? What does he say to us? And like I said, we all know what the world says, that we should be proud, not just of our accomplishments, but of who we are. And now we're even supposed to be proud of sin. I didn't know it, but did you know that June is Pride Month? And by the way, you know what? I didn't know that until, you know, when I was praying for the title of this teaching and the whole concept. That's what I do, is I, chapter by chapter, I go there and I read it over a bunch of times in prayer. Lord, what do you want to bring out? What do you want to say to us out of this chapter? And while I was doing that, I didn't know it was Pride Month. And I'd already gotten kind of the title and the basic layout, the basic outline after doing that. And then I happened to hear on the news that it was Pride Month. I went, what? Oh, wow, Lord, you're awesome. You know, God is so good. He ties all this stuff around. But it's just such a sad thing, though, that all of our country this month, and especially, I guess, what is it, the 21st, people will be parading sin. They will be shaking their fists at God and challenging each other as to who can display the most perversity in their parades. But understand this, pride is powerful, just like the devil. And folks, there's no doubt about that. We see it through Scripture over and over again, and we do ourselves great harm when we underestimate the power of either. As we'll see, not only does God call pride sin, but a very bad sin. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, he says, "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look," which literally is haughty eyes, "a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." But did you notice that right at the top, the very first thing, a proud look, pride. And folks, pride has destroyed people, it's destroyed ministries, and it has destroyed nations. We'll see that today. I want to read you a few definitions of pride, just so that way we're all on the same page here. From one dictionary, it says, number one, a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, of superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing, conduct, etc. Number two, pleasure or satisfaction taken in something done by or belonging to oneself or believed to reflect credit upon oneself. different dictionary, Christian dictionary, on this word. It says undue confidence in and attention to one's own skills, accomplishments, state, possessions, or position. Pride is easier to recognize than to define. Easier to recognize in others than in oneself. Man, is that true, huh? I really think one of the easiest ways that we can kind of examine ourselves as servants of God to detect whether pride is in us. You know, we're supposed to be servants of the Lord, right? And love one another, serve one another and all that. What happens to you when somebody treats you like a servant? You know, what happens there? You know, that'll tell you right there, boy. You know, when you get your socks in a knot because somebody treats you like a servant, the servant you're supposed to be, you got a problem. You need to deal with it and deal with it quick. But there's a lot of different words in the Bible that are used for the word pride. And each of those words have their own emphasis. Some of the synonyms are arrogance, presumption, conceit, self-satisfaction, boasting, and high-mindedness. There's one Greek word for pride, and it's the word phusiou. I won't say that again. Sometimes that word is translated as arrogant, and one dictionary refers to it as it refers to a person's being puffed up or inflated with pride or egotism. The idea is that one gives the impression of substance, but is really filled only with air. I think a good illustration of that is like a balloon. It could be really big, but it's all air. And something that I use as an illustration all the time is cotton candy. You ever notice that you could have a big old thing of cotton candy? It could be as bigger than your head. And all you got to do is start squeezing it down. You have a little bit of moisture or whatever. You can squeeze that down and it will fit in your closed fist because there's not much substance there. It's puffed up. It's mostly air. And that's pride. Another definition. Pride is rebellion against God because it attributes to oneself the honor and glory due to God alone. That nails it right there, doesn't it? The opposite of pride, we know, is humility. And that's something that God loves. Today, we're going to look at the life of Amaziah, king of Judah. He started out good, but then he allowed pride to take him down. Let's read the first four verses here of 2 Kings, chapter 14. In the second year of Joash, the son of Jehoaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father David. He did everything as his father Joash had done. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. So Amaziah is here classified as a relatively good king, not as good as David. He didn't have a heart after God as David did, but along the lines of his father Joash. And like his father Joash, he didn't remove the high places. Look at 5 and 6. Now it happened, as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand, that he executed his servants who had murdered his father the king. But the children of the murderers he did not execute, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own sin. So it was right for him to execute these guys that murdered his father, Joash. And in the law, certain sins were punishable by death. And God says over and over again, as he's telling him this, to put away the evil from among you. And it was also right how he dealt with them. They executed only the murderers, not their family. You know, places like Deuteronomy 24:16, God talks about that because it was a practice. In fact, it still goes on today in some countries where you mess up, then the government rounds up you and all your family and puts you all to death or in prison kind of thing. God says, no, don't do that. So far, so good. Amaziah's off to a pretty good start. Look at verse 7. He killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt and took Selah by war and called his name Jachtiel to this day. Now, before we go any further in 2 Kings, there's some details that are not recorded here in 2 Kings, but they are in 2 Chronicles. So go ahead and turn over there, 2 Chronicles 25. Before going to war with Edom, Amaziah gathered all of his men, and he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor, mercenaries basically, from Israel to go with them to fight the Edomites. Look at verses 7 through 10 of 2 Chronicles 25. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give you much more than this. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Now, so you look at that again. It's like, hey, good job, Amaziah. It meant losing 100 talents of silver, which in today's market prices, I just checked Saturday, it would be $3 million that he had given these guys. He said, just keep it, go back home. But you look at that, you go, well, wait a minute, man, these guys got paid $3 million to do nothing, and they just had to go home. Why would they get angry? Why would they leave in great anger? Well, first of all, it was humiliating. That they, you know what? Second thought, we don't need you. Go on home. We got this. That was one, which pride, right, gets in there and causes you to get angry. But then there's also something else. See, as mercenaries, they would get to keep part of the spoil from the Edomites. You know, if they won and all that, then they would be able to get that, and they didn't get to have any of those spoils, so they were very angry. But Amaziah listened to the man of God, and the prophet's words are still true today. Did you notice this? If we lose any money by obeying God, he said, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Isn't that true? I have seen that in my life over and over again. When I have had to make a decision that if I go this way, yeah, okay, I could gain something from it. I could make some more money. This would make me more money. But if I do this and obey God, I won't get that money. And you know what? Every time I've chosen, obey God, forget about the bucks. God is blessed. He's been more than able to take care of my wife and I and our daughter. It just blows my mind how good God is. Now, in verses 11 and 12, just like 2 Kings 14:7 that we just read, Amaziah and Judah were victorious. But look what the Israelites did on their way home in 2 Chronicles 25:13. But as for the soldiers of the army which Amaziah had discharged, so that they would not go with them to battle, they raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth Horon, killed 3,000 in them, and took much spoil. And the spoils that they lost out on by not going against Edom, I guess they figured they would make up by attacking Judah. And killed 3,000 people in Judah? Folks, understand, that was mostly women and children, because all the fighting men were with Amaziah to fight the Edomites. So they figured, hey, this is easy pickings, and we'll get our spoil one way or the other. And you look at that, and you think, man, that's what a mess. The thing is, Amaziah should have sought the Lord way before he ever considered hiring the mercenaries from Israel. And we've seen this before, right? Jehoshaphat, remember? He said, oh yeah, I'll go to war with you. My men will be like your men and all stuff. And he got in trouble for going to war with Israel. And so many of the kings, we've seen that. They go and they make rash decisions. And then in the middle of it, it's like, oh man, what am I going to do? God bails them out a lot of times. But they could have avoided the whole mess just by seeking the Lord first. And don't we fall into that trap too? You know, I'm not going to show of hands. You know, I ask for a show of hands because I know it'd be most of us. I myself, you know, you get in trouble because you didn't seek the Lord before you made a decision. Okay, I think this is the smartest thing to do. And you go do that thing. You go, uh-oh, this ain't so smart, man. This is blowing up. And you get on your knees. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. You humble yourself. And God's there. He forgives and he restores. He bails you out. But how much better if we would just seek the Lord before we make decisions? Well, all of that, what happened with the Israelites and all that, that may factor into what we see next. 2 Chronicles 25, verses 14 and 15. Now it was so, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, "Why have you sought the gods of the people which could not rescue their own people from your hand?" That's a real good question, huh? I mean, what in the world are you doing, Amaziah, worshiping these false gods that couldn't help their own people? What are you doing? We've seen that before too, right? But what happened was the word probably got back to Amaziah before they got home about what the Israelites had done in raiding Judah on their way home. Amaziah might have gotten hacked off at God because of all of that. That's real possible. And we know, as believers in Jesus, we would never, ever get mad at God because he disappoints us with something that we thought he should do, right? Yeah. But that might be it. Or maybe he was just enticed by the sexual sins involved in worshiping those gods, those idols. We don't know. But it was extremely foolish, no matter how you slice it, no matter what the reason. It was foolish. So God warns Amaziah to repent. How does he respond? Look at verse 16. So it was, as he talked with him, that the king said to him, "Have we made you the king's counselor? Cease. Shut up. Why should you be killed?" Then the prophet ceased and said, "I know that God is determined to destroy you because you have not done this, because you have done this and not heeded my advice." And that's where we pick it up. So back to 2 Kings 14. Amaziah, who started off doing pretty good, is given a huge victory by God over the Edomites. And he turns against God, but he thinks he's all that. He's swollen up with pride. Look at verse 8. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us face one another in battle." So without knowing what went on, just reading from verse 7 to verse 8, it doesn't really make a lot of sense until you know the backstory, like we just read in 2 Chronicles, right? It's like, oh, okay, this kind of makes sense now. But Amaziah, understand, he thinks he's on a roll. He thinks he's hot stuff. He just killed all those Edomites. And Israel's soldiers, man, they did Judah wrong. And he thinks he has it in himself, the ability to defeat Israel. But remember, Judah is only two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Israel is 10 tribes. They're outnumbered big time. Folks, understand this. Pride, just like all sin, any sin that we give ourselves over to, but especially pride, it blinds us to reality. We don't see things as they really are. And the sin of pride especially causes us to diminish God and his attributes and his actions in our minds and in the minds of other people around us. It's horrible. You know, right now, and basically ever since 9/11, there's been that push to have back that American pride and, you know, Lee Greenwood's song, "Proud to be an American," and all that stuff. We need to think of this in this context. We need to think about our national pride. It is a mistake to think that our military might or our form of government or capitalism, anything, has kept us safe, won our wars, and causes to begin and continue as a nation other than God. It is a mistake. Look what Joash's response was to Amaziah, verses 9 and 10. And Jehoash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. You have indeed defeated Edom, and your heart has lifted you up. Glory in that, and stay home. For why should you meddle with trouble so that you fall, you and Judah with you? That's a great illustration. Get that picture. Amaziah is like this little thistle, a sticker, okay? A sticker on the ground. And he's demanding that this great cedar tree give his daughter to the thistle's son.
Hey, you up there, you better give your daughter to my son.
And then with all of a sudden just a wild beast like a fox or a wolf or something like that, a hyena, walks by and just steps on the thistle. And that's it. No more thistle. It's all over. And that's the reality of Amaziah's greatness compared to Israel. You're just a little sticker, dude. Amaziah's victory over Edom has lifted him up with pride. He's puffed up, but it's just air. Joash, he asks Amaziah a great question. Why should you meddle with trouble so that you fall, you and Judah with you? I want to read verse 10 from the NIV. You have indeed defeated Edom, and now you are arrogant. Glory in your victory, but stay at home. Why ask for trouble and cause your own downfall and that of Judah also? That's a great advice, don't you think? Why would you mess with something that's going to destroy you and the people around you? And folks, how often have we gotten into trouble because we were messing with something that we know we shouldn't, but because of pride, we thought we could handle it. Oh yeah, man, I got this. That might be right for everybody else not to do this, but I'm different. Say, I can handle it. I got this. Then we, not too long, find ourselves, oh God, help, help, I'm sorry. We got to watch out for pride, folks. We got to be careful and be humble. And we don't mess around with stuff that God says, don't do that. That's going to hurt you. God knows better than us. Look at verse 11 through 14. But Amaziah would not heed. Therefore, Jehoash, king of Israel, went out. So he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. Then Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. And he went to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver, all the articles that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house and hostages, and returned to Samaria. See, not only does Amaziah get defeated and captured, but Jehoash goes to Jerusalem, Judah's capital, and he tears down 600 feet of the city wall, making it vulnerable for anybody that would come and want to attack it. And then he takes all the gold and silver from the temple and from the king's treasury, along with taking hostages. All this because of his pride. A little over 15 years later, a coup was formed. And even though he tried to flee, they caught up with Amaziah and they killed him. Amaziah had to learn the hard way, Proverbs 16:18 says. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Because of Amaziah's pride, Jerusalem's wall and its wealth was destroyed. And because of his haughty attitude, he fell hard. And by the way, haughty is another word for pride, and it means arrogantly superior and disdainful. Psalm 101:5 says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. And don't think that this is just an Old Testament thing. Well, it's different now. We're in the New Testament. No, Jesus talked about it. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And Jesus in Matthew 23:12 said, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And there's lots of examples in the Bible about that. When somebody exalts themselves, God humbles them. And then when they humble themselves, God exalts them. In 2 Chronicles 32, you read this later, Hezekiah, king of Judah, because of his pride, he and Judah experienced wrath coming from God. He humbled himself, cried out, and the wrath was removed. In 2 Kings 21, Manasseh of Judah, he was evil. And it's implied that because of his pride, he refused to obey God's word and repent. He was taken into captivity into Babylon. But when he humbled himself greatly, it says, and prayed in 2 Chronicles 33, God heard and delivered him. Zedekiah of Judah, he refused to humble himself, even after the warnings God sent him through Jeremiah the prophet. And because of that, he stiffened his neck and he hardened his heart, and the nation of Judah was taken captive by Babylon. Jerusalem was destroyed. Folks, understand, pride has no place in the life of a believer in Jesus. No place at all. Instead, we're to be humble. And we're to humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time. Matthew 18, 4, Jesus said, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And folks, Jesus just wasn't saying that. But he was also our extreme example of that, of humbling himself. Remember what Paul told the Philippians? Philippians 2, 5 through 8, I want to read it from the NIV. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of a cross. When you hear churches splitting because of an argument over the color of the carpet that somebody wants to put in there, or I heard recently of churches split because of flower arrangements, or churches that have split because of, you know, the argument, should we have pews or should we have chairs? When you see a church split like that, you know that's pride. Somebody is so proud that they couldn't just humble themselves and say, okay, whatever. When people leave a church because a pastor wouldn't praise them from the pulpit because of their giving or because of something they did for the church, folks, that's pride. When someone is jealous because others get more recognition than they do, that's pride. And folks, if you really believe in the cross of Christ, then there's no reason for pride in your heart at all. You've had to admit that you're a sinner just like everyone else. You needed a Savior just like the rest of us. Your righteousnesses, as God says in Isaiah, the best you could produce, the best I can produce, God says it's filthy rags. Can you be proud of filthy rags? Hey, look at my filthy rags. They're not as filthy as yours. Anything that you or I have received, from salvation to giftings and talents, it's all been by God's grace. Nothing you've earned, nothing I've earned or deserved, nothing to be proud about. Folks, let's choose to humble ourselves that he may lift us up. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have warned us of pride in your word. And Lord, we know that we've just kind of scratched the surface of that topic, but Father, I believe it's enough that we know where your heart is on this subject. Father, may we, from this moment on, renounce pride and walk humbly before you, giving you glory, never taking it for ourselves, knowing that even the health that we have, any kind of intelligence that we have, any gifts, any talents, it's all from you. You have given those things to us. Father, help. Help us to remain humble that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.